Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday,
1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time,
and you're listening to the with your host, Avenger Satanus,
and the Beast.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm T.C. Downey, and this is my co-host, Avenger Satanus. Avenger, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing pretty good, as always. You know, keep on trucking. How are you doing?
Awesome. Well, I had kind of a rocky start this morning, but all things considered, I think I'm pulling together pretty well.
That's good. That's good.
There's a couple things I'd like to say. First of all, YouTube fucking sucks nuts. And
but we knew that already.
Pardon?
I said, but we knew that already.
Yes, we did know that already. And then the other part is I wanted to thank Jason Sorrell for basically letting me know his nuts were itching.
That's awesome.
That
is
awesome.
He going to be on later, or is he just hanging out in the chat room?
Well, he's hanging out in the chat room right now, and I'm sure at some point in time he'll probably pick up the phone and dial in, but let's take it easy on our neighborhood web-slinger, or ink-slinger, for the day, for right now.
Cool. Well, this will be a great show for anyone else who's listening like right now, that wants to call in, because, you know, if you have something to say about short stories or creative writing, or if you have a question about your own story or something, what could make it better, or you know, some sort of critique or something, you know, now would be the time, or just to ask us questions or whatever. But I assume that nobody, except maybe Jason, will call in, so whatever. I guess I will just talk about, you know, the topic and make do.
That sounds good to me. So you kind of were the one who wanted to go with this topic, and like as I expressed to you last week, I was a little bit fuzzy as to you know, what the hell I can even talk about on this subject. So
talked about stuff together, so maybe we could just have, you know, just a one-on-one chat about different, you know, properties or aspects of writing a short story.
Sure. I mean, I'm game for that, man, definitely. I just, you know, it's so far removed from what we usually do, but on the other hand, it isn't, so...
Yeah, it was either that or a topic on big titties, which would also be awesome, but maybe not totally in keeping with, or maybe that is more of our thing, to talk about big titties. I don't know. But, yeah, for better or for worse, yeah, the topic today is short works of creative fiction. Yeah, I don't know why I chose that. It just came to me, I guess, and I thought, well, yeah. Maybe I wanted to use it as an excuse to do more short story writing myself, which I love to do, but it's a lot of work, but it's also very rewarding. I don't know.
Have you, I mean, honestly, I've never actually come across any short story fiction done by you.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, it's been a while. I've had some stuff published in little, you know, non-paying zines and stuff on the web. And what about my poetry? Have you read my poetry? Any of that?
Yeah, I have read your. I have actually. Well, that's pretty easy to find. That's right there on cultofcthulhu.net.
Right. So. Yeah, there's more examples of that. I used to, kind of, back when I had the MySpace profile that eventually got deleted because someone put a comment with a naked girl or a girl showing her boobies on my profile, and it got deleted by MySpace. MySpace also sucks balls, as well as YouTube. Yeah, ever since then, I don't really put short fiction up on MySpace. But I used to have, in the blog, like a lot, like a dozen, like short stories. And, you know, people would comment, and they'd like them, and, you know, there's usually something really weird or bizarre about them, you know.
Sure, I mean, actually, to be straight honest with you, man, I mean, I would love to get my hands on some short stories written by you and really see what kind of bizarre sickness actually exists in that pretty powder chrome skull, you know?
You can kind of let loose a little bit more with fiction because, you know, people know it's just a story. You know, if you write to people and you tell them in a nonfiction-y way that you really want to, you know, put your hands in, like, inside someone's stomach and then, like, squish around in the entrails or whatever, you know, they'd probably get really weirded out. But if you just write that in a story, they're still going to be weirded out, but they can dismiss it or write it off. Be like, oh, well, you know, that's, you're just writing a horror story or splatterpunk story or something like that. So it's okay.
Actually, what's really interesting is I was writing a story, and that's actually how we got to talking and how the use actually came to be. Funny enough, though, the story hasn't ever been finished, so...
I know. Yeah.
That's my fault more than yours, man. I mean, I wanted something authentic and...
Yeah, no, I'll take full ownership of that. It's all my fault. I don't know. Sometimes if I don't have inspiration, then that's the thing, too, like... When we started talking and when we met via cell phone and emails and stuff, my breakup with my girlfriend has been fairly recent. I think we started talking within like 2 months of the breakup.
Right.
Maybe shorter than that. And that, I mean, this is like a almost six year relationship that ended. And so it just kind of left me, I don't know, neither here nor there. Just kind of distraught, and all my creative juices were just like pouring on the floor because I just couldn't pull that aspect of my life together, and things were unraveling. So basically all the creative stuff I was doing up until that point was just kind of got a shot in the ass, and short story writing was really difficult for me at that time. I wasn't painting either. I wasn't really doing much of anything. And the cult was disappointing me in some regards, just because the things I was doing weren't being as recognized or as appreciated or as continued by other people as I would wish. And it just felt like I was running in circles, and that was sapping my motivation as well. And it was just kind of a dark time, I guess. And but you know, you and the ooze and, you know, some other people that came along kind of rejuvenated me, and I just got back on my horse, I guess.
Right. Well, I would actually, before we continue on with the conversation, I'd like to point out that you said juices.
Yeah.
And, well, I thought that was pretty interesting because I think that's as close as we've gotten to actually talk here on. So, within 10 minutes, within 10 minutes, we've talked about big titties and juices. That's as close as, you know, talking about the taboo things as we've come, really, so far on the news. So,
Yeah.
But
big titty juice.
No, what's that?
I just said big titty juice.
Big titty juice. That's right. And
now the circle is complete.
It is. There's probably some kind of allegory that can be put together out of that, but I'll leave that to our listeners' imagination. Now, I'm curious, when you're going at a short story, are you like you want to sit down and get all the basic concepts out on paper, or do you just like write what you're thinking as you're thinking it?
That's a good question. Well, okay. Because I'm just naturally impatient, I guess. I just want to, you know, get things done and, if possible, get things done in one sitting. At least the bare bones in one sitting, and then go back and revise it, like, the next couple of days. And that is a good formula for the short story. Basically anything from, I guess, 250 to 1,000 words. I guess to some degree, or some people, you know, maybe 500 to 750 words. You know, that's kind of the short story format, which I really like. You can't get as in-depth and detailed and, you know, but it's also easier not to get lost, I think, in the extraneous details and the elements of the short story that you don't need, you know, because it's so concise. It's like a perfect distillation of the core elements of whatever, you know, short story thing you're trying to do. So sometimes, you know, I'll just think of a piece of dialogue, or I'll think of, you know, a certain character or certain action or idea will come to me. Maybe a couple lines. You know, maybe I want to incorporate some sort of old one, or the Necronomicon, or, you know, something like that, or the pyramids in Egypt or something. And then, so basically you have like a thing or like a place or an event, and then all you need is like a couple characters, and then, I don't know, you write it and hopefully it comes out good, and then, yeah, you go back and revise it. So in that format, I like to go back and do that. But if you're writing a longer short story, I think you have to think about where it's going to lead, and you have to outline it first. That obviously takes more work. It's a lot more thought involved, and then the writing of it is a lot more involved too, because it's like 3 to 5 times as long a short story. So, yeah.
Well, I have I've tried my hand at short stories, and I've I've done my time as a scribe, and I've done the poetry bit, and there's some you can actually find on my website, but I have probably 6 or 7 200 or 300 page loose leaf books that I've written that it's all poetry, and it's just trying to type all that crap up and read my own handwriting is way too tedious for my mind. And so that hasn't really made it out there like it should, although I think this year one of my goals is going to be to try to put together at least one poetry book, and I'd like to actually put together a book that's a little more serious in nature as well. I had big plans for that short story that our story that I was working on that actually caused this whole fucking ruckus. However, it's kind of taken a back seat to everything else that I'm doing right now, and I don't know when it'll get back into the front seat.
Yeah.
Hang on one second, man. Regan, what are you doing? Are you going to go sit out over there? You leave that black marker here then, okay? Because it's permanent.
That's the spawn of Yogg-Sothoth that PC's talking to right away.
Yeah, that's my knee-high. Well, he's a little taller than knee-high. At 3, he's already waist level with me, so.
Wow, that's pretty big.
Yeah, he's, I think he's about 43 pounds.
Okay.
He's freaking huge. I think he'll be bigger than me, and, well, like I told you, he's just as stubborn, just as pig-headed, and he's got the same Irish temper, so...
Yeah,
it's gonna be a rough trip for me, and I guess I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna earn my years with him.
Yeah, that's exciting.
It is. It's cool.
Yeah, getting back to the poetry, I think poetry is kind of like a short story format as well, in that, you know, you can't ramble on and go into a lot of detail and. You get off subject with poetry, you pretty much have to get it down to exactly the impression that you want to give to the reader. And not much else besides that. I mean,
I don't know if what I'm saying here is going to be against your definition there, and if you want to consider it to be a different point of view or not, but having written quite a bit of poetry, I know that you can actually give a lot more detail just in how you phrase things.
Mm-hmm.
The way that it's said, you can make four or five words worth a whole paragraph as far as the notion behind them
right.
goes.
Well, I think we're kind of talking about different elements of the word detail. What I mean by you can't go into a lot of detail, I mean, you know, if you're talking about some dude, you know, you can talk about like, oh, he's wearing a green shirt and maybe he's got a tie on or something like that. And, but you can't go into like, oh, like you would in like a longer story. Like, oh, it's, you know, it's this brand of t-shirt or this brand of dress shirt or whatever, and
sure.
you know this is how many buttons it has, and you know maybe the top button is unbuttoned and underneath he's got like a white shirt on, a white t-shirt, and except there's a little stain on the white t-shirt, and then his cuffs are kind of rolled up, you know, the sleeves are rolled up, and then he's wearing these kind of jeans, and you know his name is, you know, Throat Wobbler Mangrove, and you know, and then you can go into like, you know, oh, you know, he's meeting his cousin here at the mall, and his cousin is like this, and you know, you're just kind of getting off topic because you're getting into so much detail, and like, you know,
sure.
Thing. I think what you mean by detail is more like, you know, precision or like detailing like a certain idea or a certain moment from like different aspects. And getting to like a more fundamental sense of what it is you're talking about, whatever impression you're trying to give the audience.
Absolutely. I mean, I had a feeling that that's what it was. I just wanted to,
right.
you know, here's a good question for you. Can you remember the first poem that you wrote, or because I remember the first one I wrote perfectly. I don't think I'll ever forget it.
No, but I can remember like the central themes, or I can remember the moment in my life at certain times that I wrote different poems. Like I remember writing a poem in like the second grade that the teacher was like asking me if, you know, or just trying to clarify, did you like really write this and did you write it yourself? Or did, you know, your parents, or I don't know if she even knew I was an only child, but maybe she asked, like, did your, you know, older brother, like, help you write it, or basically write it for you? I'm like, no, I wrote it myself. And I don't think there was any kind of, like, actual award or, like, first prize or anything, but so apparently this teacher loved the poem, and she was kind of amazed that it was that good, and maybe she put, like, a gold star on the chart by my name or something. I don't remember.
How old were you?
Oh, second grade. So it was probably
second
like
grade?
Eight.
Yeah, so you actually started into writing way earlier than I did. My first poem I wrote when I was 12. I was actually about I don't know, 3 or 4 months after my 12th birthday, so.
Cool.
Do
you remember what it was before?
My poem?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember the poem perfectly, precisely. That's why I asked you, because I always thought it was funny. If you'd like, I could even recite it for you.
Sure. Go ahead.
All right. It goes, "The look of evil is times are grim. The sign of death is we're living in sin. The blood of my heart leaves a dark stain. To love her with all to lose and nothing to gain. Close my eyes as I pray for my time. Is killing myself such a crime? Death from the angel is all I ask, so let me alone as I carry out the task. Halfway dead as I bleed on the floor, as I wait for Satan to open the door. To me, my life has been deadly and wicked. I've climbed the gates so thorny and pricked. Slow and painful is the death rate, so I slash my wrist in this fatal date. It's all for a girl, can't you see? As I look to the stars, what's happened to me?"
Wow, that's good. I can barely remember my social security number.
Yeah. Oh, I can remember my driver's license number, my social security number, my passport number. I just have one of those weird brains like that.
That's awesome. That's a good memory you got there.
In those details. Now, on the other hand, if you ask me to remember to bring a specific piece of paper to work the next day,
yeah.
to make a note for myself, forget it.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand. Well, I'm usually good at that, you know, remembering that and not so much remembering, like, you know, what happened a year ago or something. Another significant thing in my poetry reading / writing life was coming across the poetry of Jim Morrison.
Absolutely. I will completely agree with you on that.
Yeah. I think a college buddy, freshman year, had it and let me borrow it. And I read it, and it kind of changed my idea of poetry forever, probably. It was very inspirational, and it kind of teared down certain walls and created, like, a new format or new structure that I was just drawn to, and it felt very natural to me, but I hadn't seen a lot of other places, you know, non-rhyming, non-metered. I don't know. I don't really know how to express it, but it definitely had like a postmodern kind of feel. And from there, that inspired me to write other poems that, and that's kind of, I guess, the style basically of my poetry now. I guess it would be inspired by Jim Morrison and have that kind of aesthetic.
Here is a little known fact. Growing up, Jim Morrison was like my idol. That was like the dude that I absolutely wanted to be like, to the point that I even went to college at the same campus that he went to college in my area. I don't know if you know this, but he attended St. Petersburg Junior College in the late 60s. And so that's right around where I grew up.
And so, where is that?
Clearwater, Florida. It's
this Florida. Okay, I was going to say that, but I didn't know.
Yeah,
I did not know that at all.
So, I mean, the facts are the college campus hasn't changed much since it was built, with the exception of a couple new buildings being added. But, I always thought it was really cool that, you know, I would be smoking a cigarette or smoking a joint underneath a tree that, you know, maybe Jim Morrison was sitting under it doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
So,
it's
kind of an interesting thing.
Doors?
Pardon me?
Did you see the movie, The Doors?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
By the
knowledge of his life is from that, I guess, as well as his music, which is...
Sure. If you remember the film school that he was in, you remember? That was at St. Petersburg Junior College.
Oh, my gosh. I always thought it was like, you know, Berkeley or, you know, UCLA or... or something like that.
He went there next, actually, because his dad was in the military. He went to California directly from here. He only did like a year or two in this area, so.
Oh, okay, cool.
But I always thought that was kind of a neat factoid. Like I said, growing up, I was always, you know, just a huge fan of Jim Morrison.
Yeah.
And so, hold on one second. What, Rick? You want a new one? Okay, how about I give you a regular piece of paper rather than a paper plate? Okay, hold on just a minute. Anyway, with me, I have this really, really bad thing where I'll start off with the intention of it just being like this short story.
Yeah.
And before long, I have so many different plot details that are going through my mind that it wouldn't make sense at all if I left it short. So that usually ends up being what kills the project.
Yeah, I think that's the more difficult way of going about it. I think that it's really hard to start and to finish to your satisfaction, like a short story project, going in that direction in that way. I think you pretty much have to limit yourself. And someone said something, like some famous author said something about writing and the process of writing, which I still remember to this day. I probably learned it somewhere in college, you know, a dozen years ago. And that is, you've got to kill your darlings. And basically what that means is that the little cute little, you know, ideas and interesting, funny things and stuff that jumps out of the story and you're like, oh yeah, I really like that. This is just so cool or neat or cute or inventive or whatever. And it jumps out of the story so much that it becomes a prominent thing and you hate to get rid of it, even though it doesn't mesh with the rest of the story. You know, some word or phrase or idea or something. You have to have the self-discipline to get rid of it, to kill those things, to kill your darlings. And you got to focus on the story as a whole and not the little pieces of it that can add up eventually to some greater whole. You know, you kind of got to forget the whole, you know, throwing everything in, and you want it to be, you know, so great, and then you got to, you know, use all the big words, or you got to include all the old gods, or you got to, you know, do this and do that. You know, basically your job as a writer is just, you know, effectively create an impression, you know, a mood or an atmosphere or an aspect of something and give that to the audience so they can take it in and interpret it in their own way. And then that's it. Any other elaborate flourish or stuff like that is just superfluous, and usually it's just going to get you into trouble or keep you from finishing your project.
I will, I'm going to go ahead and say that I completely agree with that. Go figure. And a matter of fact, my attempts at writing short stories are probably the perfect illustration of the point that you're making.
Well, I think a lot of people do that. I know I did that. I probably still do that, you know, even now. But knowing about it, as they say in G.I. Joe, knowing is half the battle. And if you know that you're doing it, then there's a greater chance of you being able to stop yourself. And, you know, so basically what you want, or what my regimen is for creating like a short story, I'll talk about that because it's easier for me and I do that more. You know, basically you want to start with a sentence that is going to pull the audience in, and it just seems very intriguing. And then basically, so you've come up with a sentence, Like, I don't know, maybe like, you know, the muscles were dripping off his bones like melting wax or something. So you come up with this line that you think is neat and is going to keep people reading, right? So then you got to come up with, like, okay, well, now I have to support this line. You know, why is this guy's, you know, his muscles are melting? Why? You know, you want to have the story internally consistent, even if it doesn't reflect reality. You want it to not seem like it's just coming out of your ass, like it's a part of something. So you got to come up with, like, okay, why is this happening? You know, what's going on? Who is this guy that his muscles are melting? And, you know, how can I tie that into the world of the story? Basically, you want, like, some sense of place or time or, you know, or some setting. You know, you need some setting for it to happen. Basically, when you have all the little elements together, then you just elaborate and make things a little more clear or a little more vague if you want something more poetic. And, I don't know, just keep going and keep shaping it and keep molding it until you have exactly what you want, and then stop. Or then let it go for a day or two and then revise it, and maybe go back and revise it again a few days later, a few weeks later, and then you're done.
Hang on 1 second here.
Sure.
Mr. Sorrell.
Yeah, I thought I'd better call in.
Awesome. Are we dying here?
No, it's a good show. And I really, you guys, you know, Bender is really, you know, taking off of the topic, and I really don't have a lot to contribute other than, you know, what I do and what I understand about creative writing. And it's the way the Bender does it sounds like it would make my process much more easier. I was like, okay, I'm going to call in. I better call in, because it sounds like you guys could carry the whole hour.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you get carried away, and then sometimes things just stop, and we hit a brick wall, and we're like, okay, next subject. But I don't know. Okay, now that we got you on, from what I was saying, what do you think might make your process, your writing process, easier or less time-consuming or something?
Well, I approach it from a different direction typically. If I'm going to write, if I'm inspired to write something, I usually have a point that I'm trying to make. So I have some theme that I'm focused on. So I never intend in advance to write a short story or a long story or an essay. It's just whatever it is at the end, that's what it is. But it would be nice to be able to go, okay, I'm going to write a short story instead of some wordy, ridiculous, a novelette on something when I'm trying to make a point, because I'd like to be more concise. So the idea of, you know, coming up with a central theme and then going, okay, come up with a sentence that's gonna hook the reader, and then just a basic draft of whatever character or whatever environment the situation's going to be in, and then get to the point. I'd probably find that really helpful.
You used to start with a theme, and then you just kind of let it go until you feel like it's taking shape of its own, or until you just feel like stop writing, or maybe you look at it then and you're like, you know what, it started out as an essay, but if I tweak it here and there, it might make a better short story.
It usually just takes off on its own. I might have an idea well in advance of where it's going. I'll have a theme. I'll have a point that I'm trying to make. And then it'll be, you know, I might have some, climactic thing that I'm gonna go to. And then it's all just building up to that point and then resolving it. And that can be, I mean, it could end up being a short story, or it could end up being something, you know, ridiculous. And when it ends up being something ridiculous, when it's just over the top, well, it never gets finished, and it just kind of sits in, you like PC was saying, you know, notebooks, you know, sitting around full of written words that will never ever find the time to get typed out and polished and then, you know, published.
Right. Right. Well, I guess my themes, I never think about like a theme and write with that in mind, except that my inherent theme is almost always, you know, just raw weirdness or, you know, fascination or, you know, some sort of shock or, I don't know, you know, darkness, just gratuitous, you know, things that I'm attracted to, like exploitation type film, themes, I guess, like, I don't know, like sex and violence and blood and evil and monsters and you know, just sort of like that. I don't, you know, but that's interesting. I, you know, maybe if I had more of an idea or more of an eye for a particular theme, you know, maybe like Lovecraft and his cosmic horror themes or like the unknown, stuff like that. Maybe maybe my short stories would have more of a point to them and more be more readable. I don't know. Well, TC, what's your take on that?
Well, I've actually, the recent thing that I wrote for the Green Trapezoid, the Eggs of Rydia. That story, I actually approached it the same way that Jason's talking about. I had a theme in my mind. I had a point that I wanted to get across. I had an idea of what the climax would be, and then you guys both got to see it grow from the initial
right.
idea to what it finished off being. But, I mean, that seemed to be easier for me than any other writing that I've done up until that point. So, I...
Huh. Is that why, you think? Because you started out with the theme?
I think because I had in my mind certain elements that already mixed together well. The theme, the idea that I was trying to convey... I had, you know, all those elements in place before I started writing. You know, I think that certainly is what added to it and made it easier.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
I think there's two sides to the same coin as far as creative writing is concerned. You've got folks like me who approach writing trying to communicate, and then you have other folks who approach writing trying to create. That they're just trying to, you know, they might just be trying to tell a good story. A theme might appear as they're writing, but it's not where they were going. Whereas with me, the theme is there, and then a good story may or may not occur as a result.
Right.
And it's the opposite of what I do when I approach a canvas or a blank piece of paper to create artwork. Usually I'll have, I might have some, oh, you know, this will be cool. You know, and it'll be some, it's, there's no point really to it. It's just, you know, it's a red girl with horns and boobs. So that tends to be, so it's just two different approaches to creative writing, I think.
Yeah. I think actually, if you go a little bit deeper, those are two different approaches to, art in general. You've got, well, it's all about communication. You know, you're trying to communicate something to whoever's looking at it or reading it or watching it. But you got, you know, trying to get a point across, trying to, you know, construct something or impart your perspective on something. And then there's the other approach, you're just trying to entertain. And you're trying to, you know, be creative and you know, not so much, you know, get into a certain theme, but you just want it to, I don't know what the word is. I was just going to say entertain again, but there's probably a better word for it. Yeah.
I've read writing where it was conceptual, and it was, you know, really good. You know, it's like, you know, the author is just going to try to take you someplace, you know,
yeah.
And there's no real reason for going there. There's no agenda beyond, you know, here's something weird that will take you out of your day. you know, and that's good writing. That's, you know, that can be good creative writing, especially if it accomplishes that end. So yeah, it doesn't have to, you know, have a purpose beyond, you know, being, you know, a way to get out of your own head and into somebody else's. Yeah, for me, it tends to be, there has to be a reason. There tends to be an agenda behind whatever it is I'm writing.
Right. I would think that the most effective writing or art would try to satisfy both of those. It would try to communicate a specific point or vision or idea, as well as making it as, you know, as entertaining or conceptual or whatever as possible. You know, because then you're killing two birds with one stone, I guess. And
And ultimately, I would think that, you know, that's what you hope for. That even if it's, you know, stare instructions, the author would like it to be at least a little bit entertaining.
Right.
So yeah, definitely, when you're trying to communicate a point, you want it to be something memorable. That they enjoy, so that they, you know, they recall it and they recall your point.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that's really hard to capture when you're writing a short story that you can get in a longer story is a good rhythm or a meter to you know, how you're putting out the information and what you're putting emphasis on. It seems like when you're creating a short story, you're pressured to kind of, you know, make these little peaks and climaxes and you know, building up to a certain point, and you know, and you're trying to do it within a certain restraint. Now, I of course don't think that you know, anybody sits down and goes, I'm going to write exactly 96 pages of a story and that's it, you know, but hopefully you guys are getting the point of what I'm saying. When it's a short story, it's much harder to get the information to flow and flow into an accessible or understandable format for your reader.
I was able to come from practice too. You know, you're going to sit down and you're going to limit yourself to writing about whatever for only a certain amount of time each day or each week or what have you, so that all you can do is write, you know, in very short bursts. And then you could, and then as you know, you cull from that information. Like maybe one night you're writing about an environment, maybe the next day you're writing about a character. And you're not really going anywhere with it, but then down the road when you actually sit down to really put something out there that you intend to publish, that's when you pull from all that. I think like Tolkien's work especially, I know he wrote short stories, but he's known for his novels. You know, all of that was, you know, he wrote short stories, he wrote short fiction, and then he culled from that information his characters and his environments, and that's how he ended up being able to write such expansive fantasies.
Right.
So let me see if I have this summarized, or at least my understanding is pretty much what you're saying is in order to be a good porn star, you have to fuck every day.
Well, that's what I do in my porn work, yes.
Okay. Just making sure I got that down. But, I mean, no, seriously, it does make sense that the more you would practice, the easier it would become to, I guess, get that meter, that rhythm that I'm talking about. So,
I think that's the difference between those of us that dabble in it and those that do it professionally, is that professional writers, I mean, they're doing it every day, whereas, you know, folks like us, we get inspired, we approach it, we abandon it. You know, we come back to it. So, absolutely, practice would make perfect.
Yeah, I agree. If you have the discipline or the time or the motivation to write every day, then that if that's what you want to do to get better at writing, that would be the ideal way to go about it. I've, at different points, I've tried to do that. It's, you know, I failed after, you know, a week or two. But, you know, that's, yeah, that would be the ideal way to go.
Interesting. Well, guys, we can now loosen up our format a little bit. We're inside that undiluted truth. Is there anything on either of you two's mind that you'd like to put out there for everybody to hear? wow, that was a very heavy.
Well, that's a great introduction that it dumbfounded everybody.
My girlfriend has been out of town for the last week. She had some family business she had to attend to up north. And typically daily, I deal with, or I focus on just getting my, you know, my particular area for tattooing straight and ready to go and everything. And I don't usually deal with the majority of the house cleaning that occurs around the apartment. But this week, that's been my thing. And I live with, I've got my girlfriend, I've got my teenage daughter, and then we have, you know, there's two other little girls. And I go into my bathroom, and I clean the entire apartment. I'm, you know, I'm ready to go. I'm ready for my girlfriend to come back today. That's the main reason I clean the apartment. And I go into the bathroom, and there's a waste basket in the bathroom that I never use. I've never, you know, had to throw anything away in there. And just want to say that women are nasty, and that wastebasket was disgusting. And I'm sure my girlfriend will listen to the show later, and she can just know my daughter also. It was horrible, and I'll never.
Okay, guys, we got Pansoff joining us. I can never remember his real name. What's your real name, man?
Hello?
He's talking.
Yeah.
You there?
Yeah, hi. Hey, how's it going?
Good.
How you doing, man?
Hey, not too bad. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing all right. Did you catch that momentary pause when I shifted the subject on these guys?
Yeah. To the undiluted, undiluted truth, yeah.
Yeah,
we're totally professional here.
Now, what actually happened there, I want to reflect on this, because this is how hypnotism and neuro-linguistics programming actually works.
Mm-hmm.
They were absolutely not expecting me to shift the subject. So when I did, it set them off into a suggestive state at that point. I had to come back around and go, oh, okay.
Yeah, okay.
Actually, I was specifically expecting you to do that, and I knew it was coming, and even after you just started, I knew exactly what you were saying, and that you were shifting gears, and I was all for it.
That's good, though. It's good to, you know, kind of loosen the mud, the clay, I guess, a little bit, so you can remold it, you know?
I think the way you phrased it, it kind of opened everything up to, you know, like, any kind of possibility, and whenever you do that, it's a little bit daunting, and it's a little bit, you know,
I think the undiluted truth
back
for you guys, though, is really good, because you can just, it's like the icing on the cake, kind of, you know? You can just kind of throw everything out there without being too stifled by subject matter, you know?
Right. But, yeah, but exactly. But at that moment, when it's like, okay, now we can talk about, like, anything you want, like, it became so open that it was,
awkward.
Almost too open. It was like, okay, now I have to go through my mind and think about everything I could possibly talk about very quickly, and then judge the worthiness of that thing before I actually speak it.
Yeah.
You know.
Sounds like you're operating at a pretty,
something like, okay, like, why don't you talk about, I don't know, anything interesting that happened to you, like, this week. You know, that narrows it down enough where I can, you know, instantly be like, oh, well, you know, I'm having a guy work on the main cult website, and he's giving an overhaul and updating that, and and that should be coming online soon. You know, but he just was like, you can talk about anything, basically. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh, okay, I got to think about, you know, everything I could possibly talk about and then process it and then talk about it after I've chosen something.
I mean, do you usually have like a kind of a setup before the show even starts? Like, well, this would fit good here, this would fit good, but it never works out like that, though, right? I mean,
no, we never talk about. Yeah, every once in a while we talk about like, oh,
I tried to do that in the beginning. I tried to do that in the beginning when we first started out this show, but I learned that's just not how Venger works. Sorry, Venger.
That's just not how communication works either, I guess, because I guess because you have to segue and you have to, you can't write a segue per, like how it's going to happen, I guess, you know?
Right. I mean, I think you can. I think you can.
You could, yeah.
That
I mean,
way.
That's not what I meant.
But yeah, the beast is right. I don't work that way, and that's,
I'm just
not a by the script kind of guy. Like, even when I was cooking for this girl last night.
Oh, nice.
And she was like amazed that not only could I cook, but that I'm having this conversation and I'm like whipping this thing into shape, adding this ingredient and that ingredient. I'm not measuring anything. I'm not doing anything in any kind of order. I'm just kind of like, you know, I'm just pouring things and putting things in and I'm stirring and I'm, you know, a pinch of this and
What did you make? Just wondering. Like,
I made chicken Alfredo with pasta.
Oh, you're a meat eater. Yes. Just about everyone is. I keep forgetting. I'm expecting people to say something vegetarian so I can take it and try to cook it.
except for just a few vegetables, I really don't like vegetables that much. I wish I did because
I know you're a fitness, but you bodybuild and stuff, right? So
yeah, that's
usually.
True.
Or do you take protein shakes and stuff? Yeah,
I do
that
kind
of stuff.
Yeah, I've got like a whole closet of like supplements.
I'm sort of going nuts doing all that stuff, but now I'm a vegetarian actually.
Okay.
So
okay.
It's like your energy kind of seems to go down even if you have like, but you know, really, I've been learning that, you know, since it just the metabolic, like the way we produce things, basically we have a lot of what we take in. It's just you need to talk, even if you eat meat, I mean, you can still purify your system so that everything is, your cells are reproducing well and you're getting enough protein, you know, enough, you know, glutamine in your system and
have you heard of the warrior diet?
You know, I just like it, so it's good.
Yeah. Have you
heard
of
Warrior
Diet?
Okay, who's talking?
You guys, though, man. Yeah, good talks and stuff.
Oh.
Fun listening.
Awesome.
No doubt.
All right, so
take it away.
I'm actually trying to think of which direction we need to go here. Benji, will you tell us, give us an update about the website.
Okay. Ariox, he did some work on the Metasigil, Cortalis, for the cult, and I really liked his stuff, and I really like his own personal website, which is just, I think, Ariok.com. That's Ariok. And he'd give me a good price, and he's going to make it, you know, fairly customizable so I can do stuff. It's coming along. It's almost done. I'll probably be able to, it'll probably be up and online for people to actually view it later next week, I'm thinking. And it's pretty cool. You know, it's not finished yet, so I can't fully talk about everything. But I really like it so far. And it should make things both easier to navigate and hopefully more aesthetically appealing to visitors. And that's, you know, that's all I want. So.
Awesome. I checked out all the preview images that he's got posted up on his website. I thought it was excellent. I much prefer the green tones over his red and and brown you. So
okay,
that's just my personal opinion.
Yeah. There's a couple different color schemes. Kind of like one is kind of like aged blood. You know, it's kind of got like a reddy, rusty brown color mixed with sort of like a dull, maybe not dull, but like a moss green kind of coloring, which I really like. I like the bright green as well. I think that's very striking. So, if anyone wants to look at those, just go to ariok.com or just go to our forum. I've got a link up there. And that's all going to be featured on the new cultivatefulu.net website as well.
I think I'll have to check that out, too.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't been sifting through your site, so... Yeah, I need to kind of get up on my game and do that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think. What do you think of the old site? Like what it is now?
I thought it was good. I thought it was definitely really convenient. I thought, but
okay. You find it fairly easy to navigate and not.
Oh yeah, yeah. I was, however, a bit surprised by definitely a lot more forum or thread, should I say, thread. Thread, you know, titles and everything and subjects than I thought.
Yeah.
Which is great, which is always good.
Yeah, it's kind of...
It's like an expanding empire, you know?
Yeah. It definitely has like an urban sprawl kind of feel.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
And there's some areas which kind of remind me of like a dead-end street. Because they either don't go anywhere or they go somewhere and then they just stop. And it's just like, that doesn't really fit with the rest of the site or the rest of this page.
Yeah.
So
it's good to have some diversity, though.
Yeah, I still want to have a lot of diversity in the new site, but I want it more.
You need to do it the way you want to do it, because you're the artist, you're the leader of the camp. So it's you know, it's basically up to you to kind of. Outside opinions are always good. But,
oh, sure.
I mean, you know that. I mean, obviously, I mean, I've heard you say something similar to the effect, I think. But, cause
yeah,
you guys
well,
have, a lot of cats on that site, man. So you can just hear opinions nonstop, I guess,
yeah.
Right? So.
Yeah, I would love more opinions, too. I mean, I wish people would give me their feedback.
Yeah, I'll have to start going on again. I get worked into these little ruts and, you know.
Oh, sure. Everybody does.
All right. Real quick, Jason, anything new and up and coming on the Creative Oddity Studios site?
The same old, really. More tattoos, I'm starting to get into painting, so I'm trying to do a little bit of watercolor painting and illustration, and hopefully I'll have some new T-shirts designed up here pretty soon. I had to get my computer worked on, and that prevented me from doing anything with any new Photoshop programs. So that hopefully will be coming along, and that's pretty much it. Hoping you'd carry the ball on that one, man.
Well, I actually intend to be doing some artwork here real soon. I'm finishing up my second of those huge posters, the 22 by 28. This one's just been a real pain in the butt because the perspective that I chose to go from is just really unnatural for me as far as trying to imagine, and visualize it. It's not often that I sit that far above things and look down on it. So, either which way, we've got about a minute left, so is there anything left to say?
Check out Creative Oddity Studios on Facebook for folks who do the Facebook thing. That's up and running now. It's kind of cool.
Yep, I just added you or became a fan or whatever it is you do on Facebook.
Cool. Awesome. All right, in that case, we'll talk to everybody next week.
Sure, all right, I'll talk to you guys next week, hopefully.
All right, thanks for calling in. Bye.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to the Ooze. Opinions expressed by our guests or callers do not necessarily reflect those held by Venture or Beast or any institution associated with us. The Ooze does not condone any illegal or unethical acts. If you have been offended during the production of the show, we're sorry, but as the old expression goes, tough luck. Thank you, and see you next week.